texting. It's a happy birthday to the humble text message. It's just over 30 years since the first short message service, or SMS, was sent to a mobile phone by an engineer in the UK. And what did that very first text say on the 3rd of December 1992? Let's ask technology correspondent Peter Griffin. Evening, Peter.
Evening, Aaron.
Who was it that sent that first text and what did it say?
It was a guy called Neil Papworth, who was a telecommunications engineer working for Vodafone at the time. He was in Berkshire and he sent a text message, simply Merry Christmas, to one of the executives of Vodafone, who apparently was at a party, so didn't see it and didn't send a response back straight away. But that was the first one that got a lot of media attention. Obviously, there was a lot of sort of testing through the 80s and early 90s. The GSM Association, which is still a major presence in the mobile world, was developing this. They thought of pagers first. That's was sort of a text message service specifically for doctors and, you know, police officers, that sort of thing.
But yeah, we had a pager. We had a pager. We lived on the boat and had a pager. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was a turning point in communications as well. But the text message was about bringing that to the masses, at least those who had a bulky mobile phone in the early 90s. So 1992, you would have been looking at a sort of a 2KG device to make a phone call, very expensive, but people were starting to buy them. By 1995... most of the cell phone operators around the world, including in New Zealand, had text messaging. The big game changer was so-called interconnection, when you could start sending text messages between mobile operators. And, of course, Vodafone had a big presence when they bought Bell South in the late 90s in New Zealand. So they were big proponents of text messaging. And it's hard to recall, but sort of painful memories of the early days of text messaging in the early 2000s, late 90s, when a text message cost 10 to 20 cents per text to send. So it was super expensive, but people did it because it was a lot cheaper than making a mobile phone call, which was metered. You had to pay per minute. So it was relatively cheap. And then, of course, we saw around 2005, 2006, Telecom introduced the $10 text bundle, so you could send as many texts as you wanted for $10. Vodafone matched that, and that really was the mainstreaming of text messages. We were sending, you know, hundreds of millions, billions of them every day, and that was really the precursor to the messaging apps that a lot of people are now using instead of text
messages. Instead of them. How private and secure are texts? Is that why people are using the messaging services?
I don't think it's the primary reason. I think people like the rich media aspect, and also the it potentially is cheaper if you're just on Wi-Fi sending something over WhatsApp or iMessage. There's no cost other than the Wi-Fi network that you're connecting to. So I think they're doing it for that reason. Also, the rich media, it's much easier and cheaper to add photos and audio files and things like that to messaging app messages. But they definitely are more secure than text messaging. Text messages are not encrypted end-to-end, so that means that they can be intercepted. They sit on a server at the mobile phone company for a period of time, which is why the police will often, with a warrant, go to a mobile phone network provider and ask for text messages that have been sent. Some of the messaging apps that have emerged in recent years, the likes of WhatsApp, Signal, Telegram, they employ end-to-end encryption, so not even those companies that supply those messaging apps can see the messages that are sent over those networks. So they're definitely more secure than the old-fashioned text message.
I see. So even the police wouldn't be able to retrieve something on WhatsApp if it was deleted from somebody's phone.
Yeah, that's right. And that's a bone of contention with mobile operators and governments around the world. They're obviously worried about things like terrorism, about the trade in child pornography, child exploitation, all that sort of stuff. And they're worried that a lot of this stuff is going dark because they literally cannot gain access to these networks. So they've been asking for what you'd call a sort of a backdoor into those encryption systems where the FBI or our own GCSB could access the network. Now, the technology companies have really resisted that because they're basically saying if you break encryption, sure, the authorities might be able to get in, but you're going to get all sorts of criminals will eventually be able to get in as well. So that's still a live issue. But so far, those messaging apps, a lot of them are employing end-to-end encryption, including for email as well. This was really after the Edward Snowden revelations about 2013, when he showed that there'd been wholesale surveillance of people's email traffic in the US. And Google and other companies said, okay, fine, to restore confidence on the part of our customers, we're just going to encrypt everything so that not even we can see what's passing over the network.
Okay. You may know, well, you will know that the word of the year for the Oxford Dictionary was goblin mode. but do you know what that means?
Going goblin mode, like totally losing it at someone?
Yeah, it's a bit longer than that, actually. Going goblin mode, a type of behaviour which is unapologetically self-indulgent, lazy, slovenly or greedy.
Oh, right.
Typically in a way that rejects social norms or expectations. But anyway, the word text or texting, that got into the dictionary in 2010. And then it took a while for everybody to say, you texted me, rather than you text me.
And we were actually early adopters of that. We were there. The Europeans, people in the UK, Australia, New Zealand, were quicker than the Americans. The Americans never talked about texting up until probably about 2010, 2012, when the iPhone was out in 2007, and then they really got into texting. So they were a bit slower than other parts of the world. But the rate of texts has been declining overall. I think in the UK, 40 billion SMS messages were sent last year. That compared to 150 billion in 2012, which was really about the peak of text messaging before those messaging apps became really popular.
Right.
But I don't see text messaging dying away anytime soon. And there's really two reasons for that. One is that your mobile phone number is used to authenticate some really important transactions. So your bank will often send you a text message for what they call two-factor authentication. If you put your password in, and you want to send or withdraw a large amount of money, they will want you to verify that with a second means, and that is often a text message. So there's that. And the other factor is that companies absolutely love text messaging because it's the one form of communication that people will automatically look at. They won't ignore it like an email or something like that.
That's true.
Have that connection with text messaging. It seems to be more important, which is why telemarketers and companies are increasingly sending us these messages, which has a flip side as well. We're getting scammed more often.
Yeah, oh, mind you, I keep my phone on silent, like for example right now, so I do miss a lot of them. But if you've got a little notification, you don't miss them, do you?
That's right. And there's something about it. It's just all the psychology, and that's basically 15 or 20 years of us looking at a text message when it comes in, thinking that it's more important than everything else.
Yeah. Do you remember sending your first text?
I don't, to be honest, but it would have been, I remember the first phone I got, which was a really plasticky sort of Alcatel phone in probably 95 or 96. Very excited to get it. And I got a prepaid calling card, which I remember punching in the number to activate that. So I would have sent my first text message then. But I was never a massive texter. Like, I was always in awe of my friends who, because this was before the so-called QWERTY keyboard, like the BlackBerry and those sorts of devices where you had a fully fledged keyboard. People were texting on a numeric keypad and could do it incredibly quickly. I was never one of those people.
Yeah, it's just incredible to watch the younger generation, isn't it? They can do it under the table, blind. It's just quite something.
Yeah, and now, of course, with these messaging apps, you've got these keyboards which, you know, you can swipe basically through a message. You can talk messages into your phone. So, you know, using your thumbs is obviously long gone.
Old school.
I think the future of the text message is in the hands of Apple and Google, because they control the software on all of our smartphones, and they've been gradually updating the capability. For instance, Apple with its iOS 16 software update means that text can be edited after they've been sent. You can retract a message, which is quite a big thing, because we obviously had this wave of, you know, sexting and text bullying that happened in the last decade. Some quite damaging behavior was going on there. So if you really regret sending a message, you can at least if you're an iPhone user, delete that message or at least retract it.
Can you? Who knew? All right, must look into it. Hey, thanks very much, Peter.
Cheers, Karen.
Great. Peter Griffin.